Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime. It's showtime. It's showtime. Well, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. I can't find our two hosts. Well, welcome to CAGDU, your dog and you. And we usually have two hosts. We have Charlie Crawford, and Reverend Radio Ray Razor. I don't know where they are today. I don't think they've gone fishing or anything, but they...
You need to unmute me.
You are.
Hello? Can you hear me there?
No, sir. We are having some technical difficulties. We don't know exactly what's going on. But okay, sir. Well, we're going to ask you to call in on another line, see if we can't get this all sorted out. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, you have tuned in to CAGDU, your CAGDU, which stands for Capital Area Guide Dog Users. Sometimes these things happen when you're doing live radio, and many of you are very familiar with this because you've been Zooming and other kinds of electronic connections, and so things don't always work well. We were on a call this morning.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No, sir. We were on a call this morning with one of the senators from the state of Pennsylvania, and his electronics did not work this morning. So, I see you now, sir.
Okay.
And the whole world can hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay,
we're going to try this again so that we start off on the right foot. Okay. There we go. We've got to have our theme music. And I know our guest is probably saying, what is going on? Well, welcome to the world of live radio. Okay, we get a little theme music in there. And we cue up our co-host. It's showtime.
Greetings. Welcome to CAGDU, about your dog and you, Capital Area Guide Dog Users. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and my co-host is Mr. Charlie Crawford. Have Charlie checked in yet?
He has not. He didn't take the time this week, did he?
Okay. Well, we know he was a little under the weather. All y'all know that following his hospitalization, so he might be a little under the weather. But as they say, the show must go on, and it's a wonderful editing thing, wonderful about editing, because we certainly will edit out all these bad things, okay? So I would say, how are you doing today, Miss Renee, hosted with the mostest? How are you?
Well, I'm social distancing, but electronically connecting.
Oh, I like that. You were mentioning about Zooming, and our special guest that's going to come on, Tony Stevens, I think he's still sleeping and resting from their virtual first year the National Conference of American Council of the Blind, because I listened to some of it, and I think I heard him a time or two say about he haven't seen his family since, and I won't say how long, and he couldn't wait to get home to get some rest. And I say that to say that in terms of Zooming, I mean, sometimes I'm on Zooming from in the morning from 8 to 8, 9 o'clock at night. Mr. Renee, so this Zooming is really something, and all and us learning about it. And I mean, yeah, our life is definitely going to be different pre-March 13th, that Friday, I think, when people started closing it down, 2020. It's really going to be different. But, you know, a couple of things, though, I just want to share with our audience about being on all these Zooming things, but two events that I was on this week is one. Most of you all know I work for Councilman at Large, Mr. Hawkins, in Prince George County. He's a county at large, and I'm on his staff. I am a specialist for constituent service, and my concentration is person with disability and seniors. Well, we had during this COVID-19, so many persons with disability and seniors call our office where they can get food from because they weren't able to get out. Family members and friends that usually in PCAs, they usually would take them out shopping and all. Well, you know, because of this virus, they just wasn't doing that. So people with disability at home. So I want to, my councilman, I brought it to his attention, Mr. Hawkins, and along with a couple other council people, I want to give them credit at large, the other at large council person, Mr. Mayor Franklin, Councilman District 7, Rodney Streeter, Councilman at District 9, Sidney Harris. They all got together and pulled some resources together and some contacts and stuff and asked us to send them just a list of persons with disability, and they will make sure that food is taken to their homes, delivered to them, because they understood that people with disability could not go to the store and stuff. And, you know, and a lot of persons have underlying conditions, like myself, of course, you know, a little diabetes, a little high blood pressure. So we appreciated that. But in doing that, the word got out in Prince George County, and they ended up with, and I'm not sure who gave them this money, but last week $400,000 was given to Family Service and Disability Services. And so we put together a committee and came up with, coming up with a distribution program to get it out to people with disability. And one of the things I told them, a couple of things, I said, look, first of all, you know, if you're over 60, they do have the federal program where you can get Meals and Wheels. But there's a lot of people with disability under 60. And so mm-hmm. this program is for them. And one of the things I say, we don't need no requirements, okay? All you have to be is say. You just have to say that you have a disability. We're not going to ask you for a doctor slip, none of that, to verify it. And all we really – the only requirement is that you live in Prince George County, and we're putting a flyer together, and all you have to do is just call, give your name, phone number, address, how much grub you need, and someone will bring it to you. Right now we have two packages. We got one package that's you get 7 frozen meals and some groceries, a little groceries. The
wow.
other package is
wow.
you get the other package, you get 4 frozen meals, but the 4 frozen meals, each meal will serve 3 people. And we're working with BK Millers. They have a very good produce package that'll last you about a week, all kind of stuff, produce that's in there. And so that's one of the things we're working with. The only challenge, I won't say challenge, but the only little challenge we have is getting with churches that have vans or other organization, nonprofit organization, or organizations that can provide drivers and stuff to take this to a person with disability. And we just have to make sure that we spend this $400,000 by the end of the year. I told him, huh, with the way these people out here hungry and everything, the way stuff going on, I think we're going to be requesting for more money. We're not going to have a problem with spending the money at the end of the year. But that's one of the things we've been working on, and I really appreciate my boss, Mr. Hawkins, giving me the opportunity to work on that. So I really appreciate that. So that's one of the things I've been working on. So I just want to share that, and we'll give that information out. And we'll give that information out when we get it. Okay, so anyway, Ms. Renee, would you be kind enough to give...
Let me just say this. I'm really glad that you identified the segment of persons with disabilities who don't quite meet the age range. You know, we have persons who are very young with disabilities, children and a youth under 20, and then we have people over 65. But oftentimes, persons are experiencing a disability in that middle range, and they oftentimes get overlooked because they don't fall neatly in the other category. So that is really great and glad to hear so much that you are looking at that population. So you probably want the show lineup, and I will do that.
Yes.
The first is our first segment begins with Stop Dogging Us Around, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Using a Guide Dog. And our guest is Anthony Tony Stevens, Director of Development at ACB, American Council of the Blind. And then our second half, we look into Charlie's corner. Today, we might just look in there quietly since Charlie hasn't shown up yet. And finally, you challenge us in your call to action segment. So back over to you, Reverend Radio Ray.
All right. And as Jackie Leeson usually say in the 60s, away we go. So the way we go is our first segment is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store, and that wolf is W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf, and it's located in Tacoma, and they sponsor the show. There's a wonderful pet store. They provide all my guide dogs food, free of course, because they are a major sponsor of CAGDU Radio Show. And I'm telling you, you can call them at 202-747-3434. That's an easy enough number to remember, 202-747-3434, and they do deliver. Or you could go online at thebigbadwolf.com and place your order. The time you get up there, they would just bring it out, throw it in the back of your car or your van, and you can take off. But they also do deliver. So tell Miss Penny, the proprietor, that you heard it from CAGDU about your dog and you. And I'm telling you, some of this food and hot, top chef quality food. I mean, I had Miss Renee read some of the ingredients that this dog, that my dog, Miss Raven, has. Whole eggs. I don't know what kind of eggs I've been eating. Half of what? Real cheese. I don't know what kind of cheese I've been eating. I mean, lamb. All this. I mean, these products that these dogs. I say my dog is eating better than me, although she probably worked as hard as I do. But anyway, so please check out thebigbadwolf.com. So they bring to you Stop Dogging Me Around using a guide dog. Now, using a guide dog, and we like to say the bad, the good, and the ugly. Now, only ugly thing about using a guide dog is the people that you have to come in contact with, with society. But I won't get into that right now because I would like to bounce that off of me and Mr. Charlie. See, but in the good, I would say this. We watched a movie the other day, and something was said in the movie, a line in the movie I like, a person just sitting around and say, you one sandwich away from being fat. And if it wasn't for my guide dog that I had to go out and walk her two or three times a day, at least a mile, I think I will be one sandwich away from being fat. So that is definitely a good thing. And anyone that has a guide dog at this point and they're doing what they're supposed to do, they are getting some exercise, especially now with this COVID-19 virus. A lot of people are working from home, staying home, don't have jobs, don't want to be home. So that is definitely a good thing, and I appreciate that. And so for me, that's stop dogging us around, the bad, the good, and the ugly. Again, that's brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And again, that phone number is 202-747-3434, 202-747-3434, or go to their website, thebigbadwolf.com. That wolf is W-O-O-F, wolf. Wolf. Now, Ms. Renee, would you be kind enough to introduce our very special guest for today?
Well, we just have time to introduce him, and then we'll get to learn more about him on the other side of the break. Our guest is Anthony Tony Stevens, and he is the Director of Development at ACB, the American Council of the Blind. And on the other side of the break, you will hear more from Tony. So hold on. You are listening to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. CAGDU stands for Capital Area Guide Dog Users. We are located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is for dog guide users everywhere. Back to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
Greetings and welcome back to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You. And it seems as though I'm flying solo because behind microphone number two, brother Charlie Crawford is not with us. So we hope he's doing well. We will check on him. But we have a very special guest today, Mr. Tony Stevens. I heard about Tony several years ago when he took over the position that Mr. Eric Bridges held, and I didn't get a chance to call him. So this is a great opportunity to talk to him, especially after they did something very special with their First Virtue Convention. So, Brother Tony Stevens, how are you today, sir?
I am doing very fabulous, Mr. Ray. Thank you so much, sir. Doing good.
I'm glad to hear that. And, Tony, when I was listening to you, and was it you and Deb talking on the I was listening
it
on
was,
Mainstream.
Debbie Hazleton, yeah. We had our on ACB Radio Mainstream, our daily little get-together, so...
Yeah, and very, very, very informative and interesting. And I mean, and it sounds like you all really, really did a Herculean effort putting together this first virtue convention. I mean, it sounds like now are you caught up on your sleep yet? And did your family recognize you?
I have been trying. Both my young boys were a little bit taller when I got home. I'm not going to lie. It seemed kind of, you know, I was like, wait a second. You guys have grown on me while I was gone. So I am now, you know, I live in Baltimore. Used to live in Tacoma Park, not far from the Big Bad Wolf, which I love that story.
Okay.
But up in Baltimore now. But right now I'm at an undisclosed location on the Carolina coast, kind of hiding away from trying to social distance from crowds. Just to be with my family for a few days to do some R&R. But it was a huge event and extremely successful. We were so overwhelmed and touched by all the support we got from everybody.
Yeah.
All around, not just around the country, but from around the globe, which was crazy. We were hearing from people in six continents, which was just mind-blowing.
Wow. Well, wow. Let's put a pin right there, Tony. We're going to get to that on the other side. But our listeners always like to know who we are talking to. They like to know the person, because the name of the show is Cagdo About Your Dog and You. And I didn't even realize that you had a service, that you had a guide dog. I did not realize that until I heard you on the show
right
the other
now.
Day. I did not know that.
Yep.
I knew that Eric had one, but I did not know that you did. So when I heard that, I said, Charlie, you got to get Tony on. You got to get Tony on. So I appreciate Charlie reaching out to you about that. So we always like to say, you know, your maiden voyage with us, we treat you like a guest. You know, we get up, we get water for you, we show you where the bathroom is, you know, and all that. But after that, no, you get up on your own and go to the refrigerator and everything else. You know, we don't do anything else for you. So this is your maiden voyage. We will be easy on you, but after that, we treat you like family. So, Miss Renee, go start drilling. I mean, ask some questions. Go ahead.
Well, Tony, you mentioned that you now live in Baltimore and that at one point you lived in Tacoma Park. Did you grow up in this area?
I did not, but my wife was born at Holy Cross Hospital in just in Silver Spring. And we were living up in New York City where I met her years ago and had our first kid a little over, he's 10 and a half now. And we were up in Brooklyn and then Manhattan. And I always joke, we got priced out of Brooklyn. We couldn't afford to live in Brooklyn anymore. It's like, parts of D.C. now, you know. And so we had to move to Manhattan to save money. But we, you know, moved down to be closer to her family after the birth of our first son because, you know, trying to deal with a dog and a stroller and a baby on a subway stairs is quite a fun task. And so we moved down to Washington and settled in Washington, but decided after Freddie Gray, and I've been involved with so much social justice activism work for the past 25 years, you know, there was such a strong sort of rise of grassroots efforts in Baltimore after 2015 and into 2016. And we were wanting something that reminded us a little bit more like Brooklyn. So we moved into downtown Baltimore about a little over three years ago.
Wow. Okay. Raymond, do you want to pick it up from here?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we mentioned that this is Cagdo, Your Dog and You. So we recognize that you have a sight or vision loss. When did you begin to lose your sight?
It came on at birth. I had a congenital defect of my retina. It's called juvenile retinaschisis, and it's a genetic condition that really didn't start to manifest itself till I was about three or four. Both my parents thought I had, you know, perhaps developmental disability, because I was just real slow, not looking in the eye, couldn't learn to read early on. And but when they, you know, were trying to figure out what's going on and taking to pediatricians, and then finally at a pediatric ophthalmologist, they're like, well, this kid can't see. It's the problem. So my retinas had detached at a real, you know, young age, somewhere early on, you know, right after birth sometime. And so I was legally blind till I was 15, and then I went total after another side effect of the condition was that glaucoma was pretty strong, prevalent. And then when I was 15, I had an acute bout of glaucoma, and that killed what little vision I had. And so that was 15. And then they were able to try to tinker with it. I've got like a little bit of some shadows, light perception in one eye, you know, some stuff right up in front kind of thing in one eye, and like a hole in a box kind of thing. But it's I pretty much consider myself, you know, as many people do. Not everybody's totally blind, but we'll still say that we're blind, you know, in that sense. So I got my first dog.
So Tony, like we say in the trade, you got just enough sight to get in trouble.
That's the problem, maybe. Some might think there's enough to get in trouble, but it's not. You know, you get in more trouble in that gray area, right in between.
Right. So, Tony, let me ask you: Do you have siblings?
I have one sister. Yeah, the gene is only in males, so she is perfectly fine.
Oh, really?
Fine. So yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying this
sister.
Is hereditary?
It is hereditary, but it does a weird. It goes. Females don't get it, but if they have a son, the son gets it and then passes it into the son's daughter. So
really?
It's an X-linked chromosome issue. So what that means is it goes, you know, sort of mother-son, mother, you know, male-female, male-female. The females don't manifest it, but it mm-hmm. manifests in the boys. So
let me ask you this then. On a personal note, you and your wife had discussion about having children, or there wasn't a concern in you having boys and passing it on?
Well, when we decided to have children, it was in the back of our mind. But, you know, I have been so blessed my entire life and have had people that help lift me up and make me succeed that, you know, my attitude has always been it's not something that, you know, imprisons me. It perhaps helps define who I am, but it is in no way a thing of itself that hinders me or makes life bad enough where we were going to say we're not going to choose to have kids because it's a 50-50 chance.
Gotcha.
In that if we had sons, both my sons would be perfectly fine because the gene doesn't go male to male. It just goes male to female. And then if I did have a daughter, which we've after two, we're like, no more kids. We can't. I don't see how people do it with three or four kids. I God love them all. You know,
So let me ask you, because I don't know this, is your wife a blind or sighted?
Mm-hmm. She's sighted.
Is she blind or sighted?
No, she
can see
just fine. So, yep.
Oh, okay. Wow.
She's an optometrist. And so we have a lot to talk about. We both know a heck of a lot more than most people probably talk about eyes at the dinner table. So.
It must be interesting visiting you all.
We tend to nerd out on eye stuff sometimes. So,
Tony, let me back up because Reverend Ray has a tendency to go off on tangents. So let me just ask you, from age 15, when you were legally blind to the time you were totally blind, did you have to have a conversation with yourself moving just from legally blind to totally blind? You know, what kind of conversation and what kept you going?
It was a big conversation. I remember it very well. It was 1989, 88. I say I remember it very well, and I can't remember the year. No, it was 88. It was the summer of 88. It was a week after my freshman year of high school. And, you know, most of the summer was spent in hospitals with doctors trying to fix things and save things and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, at the end of the summer, you know, early August, I remember it, it was that realization of like, wow, I got two choices I can make right now. I can, you know, because I had known just by being legally blind, I had gone to a camp for children who were blind, and you know, so I had friends who were blind, and I knew that there were a lot of not perfect outcomes for a lot of people, right? I knew the odds were stacked against me, and I very well remember making that choice at the end of summer because I was farthest thing in the world from a motivated child at age 15. Not many 15-year-old boys are motivated about too much.
Exactly.
But it was... you know, it was one of those defining moments where I said, you know, I can stay in my room. I spent all that summer in the dark of my room, blinds pulled, just complete depression. You know, we will show people here's a cane, but we do very little for the psychology I've learned over decades of working with people who are blind and visually impaired. And, you know, and so I just locked myself in that room, had a lot of sad records, and just trudged through it. But then I came out at the end of that summer, and I just told myself, you know, this isn't going to break me. And it pained me to have the help of a father who was, my parents were divorced, but my father was an ex-Marine sergeant and quite the disciplinarian.
Oh gosh.
As one would think. And he wasn't going to take no for an answer. And so he, you know, my decision might have been a catalyst somewhat, might have come from my father in a sense, but
yes.
You know, as much as a teenage boy would push and grind and go against that grain, you know, I'm glad that I walked out that summer and said, you know what, this isn't, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to be tough. And it was hard, but you know, the thing is, and you both probably know this just as well, you get people in a community that can make the huge difference. And I lucked out and had the world's best. And I'm sure everybody's been successful with them blind would say this, that was a kid, TVI, teacher for the visually impaired, who just, you know, I had that attitude and she showed me that I could be something. And to this day, I'm just hugely indebted to her. So.
Wow. No, you're right. And I do know that. And so, Tony, then where did you go to college?
So I studied journalism at the University of Georgia, down south.
Bulldogs?
Yes, I was a Bulldog for both graduate and undergraduate. I did journalism there at the Grady College of Journalism and focused in broadcasting and radio, television, film production. And then worked a little bit in non-commercial radio myself before taking a bit of a detour for a number of years to join religious life to be never made it, but worked towards being a Catholic priest for a number of years. So
really? Oh, and that's interesting. Well, let me ask you now, with your vision, you wanted to go into journalism and some type of visual communications?
Well, for me, it was a lot of radio. You know, it is
okay.
It is the medium of the ear. And I was working in the radio at that time and started in print, but moved into radio and just fell in love with it. And but then I got involved in social justice work, and I joined and got tied up with a group called the Jesuits, which runs a lot of, you know, Georgetown University in D.C.
Yes.
Slogan of the Jesuits: give us a year and we'll ruin your life.
Okay, that's some music, Tony. You know how that is. We got to pay bills.
I know how that is.
So we're going to be back on the other side with our special guest, Tony Stevens, with American Council of the Blind. This is Reverend Radio Ray, and you're listening to CAG Do About Your Dog and You.
You are listening to CAG Do About Your Dog and You. And CAG Do stands for Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We are located in the nation's capital, that's Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is the dog guide users everywhere. We want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. And if your dog needs it, they have it. They have a store-to-door delivery in the DMV, that's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. So give them a call at 202-747-3434. Back over to you, Reverend Radio Ray, and our guest, Anthony Tony Stevens, the Director of Development at ACB, the American Council of the Blind.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Renee. And I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Usually this segment is brought to you by the National Capital Area Chapter. And that is affiliate of ACB, which they are Silver Springs chapter that meets in Silver Springs. And the president of that chapter is Mr. Pat Sheehan, a handsome white boy. You could go to that website, put in the National Capital Area Chapter.org, and it will take you to CAGDU, where we host right now their information. Go down to the tab, National Capital Area Chapter. Click it on. You'll see there's a handsome white gentleman, which is Pat Sheehan, the president, and they give you the information when they meet. They usually meet the third Thursday of the month from 7 to 8. And before this virus hit us, we were meeting at the Sheraton Park Hotel on Georgia Avenue. I'm telling you, I miss their crab cakes there in the barbecue spare ribs. But they are having a virtual meeting, and so go there and you get that information. Again, that's National Capital Area Chapter, and they are affiliate of the ACB National. So please check them out. And like I say, they are sponsoring, believe it or not, paying money for the sponsor, Charlie C., information from the DMV, and that is hosted by Brother Charlie Crawford, that's with us today. But I just want to still mention that since they are paying for that, sponsoring that segment. All righty, so Ms. Renee, give a proper introduction again to our guests, and we will pick up from Mr. Tony Stevens.
Well, we've learned a lot from Tony Stevens. One that at one point he wanted to be a Jesuit priest, and was very interested in social justice work. So it's really exciting to me because I, too, am a social justice activist. So Offline, we can even talk more about that. But this is Kazu, your guide dog, and you. So we want to get into what motivated you to get a guide dog, the Sarge?
So I was 21 and got off to college, and just the desire to be more independent. I have always been the type to not be afraid to just go get lost and to find my way out. But I started to realize that the more I left and went out into the big world, the easier it was to get lost, and a little bit harder sometimes to find the breadcrumbs to get yourself back to where you left off at. So. I was 21, and it was a good age. I had a summer that was going to be freed up for half of it, and I put my application in at the CNI, which, there were a bunch fewer schools. This was early 90s, back in 94. And went up to Morristown, New Jersey, and got my dog. My first dog was a German Shepherd named Quint, who I always equated to the mad sailor from Jaws. So he was quite the surly shepherd himself, but he was a good dog.
I'm
winding down number three. I'm kind of in waiting queue for number four, but everything's up in the air, as folks know, with the guide dog school. So
yes, right. Matter of fact, our maiden voyage, our first show, we had a CNI guide dog school was our guest on our first show.
Oh, wonderful.
And we got to talk to the new president, Mr. Glenn Holcomb. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because I'm a CNI guide dog graduate, and I'm on my number seventh. German Shepherd.
Oh my goodness!
Oh,
wow.
Okay. So let me ask you this: since the show was Cagdo about your dog and you, how? And you just saying it gives you more independence, but share with us just how does it affect your everyday life? And in terms of, and I don't want to all get into cane versus guide dog, all that, but just how has that affected your life?
Well, there's good and bad in both. The cane doesn't wake you up at 6 in the morning to go outside. but it does, require you to sometimes have to, follow shorelines more and slow things down. It's the difference of just, and it's only for, for those that I've talked to similarly, that moment of it's like stepping on a throttle for a nice car, and you just take off. He goes from 0 to 60, and you just go. And that feeling when you've been going, I was, 6 years, stumbling and hitting my shins on things, and not being afraid to get hurt. But 6 years into being totally blind, when you said forward and that new car, the German Shepherd, the Germans are fine engineers and cars, and also the guide dog was just launched, and that was such an exhilarating feeling just to move freely in a crowd, navigating through the streets of New York, just zigzagging through Times Square and places like that was just an incredible sensation.
Wow!
No, you're right. I do know that feeling. I mean, I felt free, and I do know that feeling. And there's certain things that the cane just cannot do, because unfortunately. The whole thing with the cane, to know where you are, you got to hit stuff. you got to hit stuff, and that cane don't help you when you're going at an overhead tree branch or a sign that's sticking out, or whatever. So it does make a difference. And a lot of people don't realize also, Tony, every blind person cannot use a guide dog. I mean, people are like, hey, that dude is blind, get him a dog. It don't work like that. There's certain skills you have to have, and the temperament, because everybody do not, they're just not dog convenient or friendly or whatever you want to call it. So that's why it's such a small percentage of blind persons that actually use a guide dog, and it's not because they just don't want to, but just everybody don't have the ability to, and I feel blessed
well,
that I am, and I know how you feel.
And yeah, it's a lot of responsibility, like having kids in a sense, so they don't go off.
Yeah, because what is give me an average day with you, and your dog from the time you get up, your responsibility for the dog until the time you go to bed. We usually catch
the 6:10 Camden line out of Camden Yards, the MARC train out of Baltimore. So we'll be up about 5:15, you know, got to take them out and walk them and feed them. And then we get our exercise, walk into the train station. It's about a 15-minute walk from where I live in downtown Baltimore. And we'll make our way to Camden Yards. And, you got to get them on a train. And thank heavens the trains have been not that crowded because of coronavirus. But, on a crowded day on a train, there's a lot of people that don't notice the dog's there, and the dog is stressed. People don't realize. And when we were advocating a lot about emotional support dogs and on the airline, I worked on a committee for the Department of Transportation for a few years around service animals in the air and other issues. But people don't realize with even emotional support animals, like when you're in a transit with heavy people on an airplane or on a train crowded with people, the dogs get stressed. They deal with a lot of psychological, they have a high pressure job. They get to lay around for a lot during the day, but when they work, they are on it. And you have to be able to be a real effective guide dog user, to read your dog and to know how your dog emotionally. So you have to be there in a relationship just emotionally for the dog as well. It's not that just the dog helps you. They're living creatures and have emotions and sensitivities as well. And so, but we'll get to work and then he gets a chance to chill out on his little bed. We have three guide dogs in the office. So every now and then,
Some
guide dog's walking around with some other dog's bone. And we're like, whose bone is this? And they've got a toy in their mouth and we're trying to figure out whose toy it is. But we've got three guide dogs in our office. You got to take them out during the day, and then just make sure that they stay. The best thing for the dogs is routine. So it helps. When I was in the Jesuits for a few years, I went several years without a dog because the routine in the Jesuits was we were moving around so much, and the travel and the constantly keeping you in new rotations when you're in sort of training. And in some places, like I was doing hospice for a while and working in a nursing home and a hospice, there were some places that just weren't very conducive for the dog. So, you need to understand, you can't be so hard-headed to say that, you need to understand that some places isn't the best place for the dog, even though our rights say the dog can go wherever we can go, for the dog's sake and just out of respect for others. I went a few years without a dog and chose that. I think a lot of folks just think, just get a dog, like you said earlier, and give him a dog and he'll be fine. But it's a lot of work, as you and others in CAG do know.
I'm glad. Let me just say this, Ms. Renee, and I'm glad you did bring that, Tony. It's a lot of work because I've worked for CNI Guide Dog for 2 years as a national field rep going all over the country, and my specialty was just to go to African-American organizations enough to talk to them about guide dogs and that kind of thing. I did that for 2 years, and that's the thing I had to stress. You just don't get a dog, put your hand on the handle, and say, take me to 7-Eleven. It just don't work like that.
No.
You don't.
You end
just
up
open
the
up
big
the
bad
back,
wolf.
Or you just, you just open up the back door and say, go do your thing and come on back in here. So I'm glad you did mention that. But go ahead, Ms. Renee, what you want to ask?
But Tony, you're one of our few guests who have children in the home with a guide dog. How do your boys? You said two boys, right?
I got two boys. Yeah, 8 and 10.
Two boys. So how do they interact with your guide dog?
Well, we got Palmer's. I have a black lab now named Palmer, and when we got him, my youngest was 1 year old, and I'd had shepherds before, and I was a big shepherd fan. They just something about their gait, the way they walk, and their height, and everything.
Yeah.
Just it was a nice thing. But so I had to be converted to go with the Labradors. But it was really a situation of everyone kept telling me, get a lab with the baby. You know, they're so kind and gentle, and they're not going to, you know, and it really was a wonderful experience with the baby to have, you know, a newly trained black lab there that was, you know, not aggressive, not territorial towards its, you know, alpha dog in the pack, me, you know, it sees us as the alpha.
Mm.
But, right. You know, it was a situation that was very positive in having the lab with our kid. And, you know, he could get playful when he's out of harness, don't get me wrong, but was always
right.
respectful of the little pups around him, as he would sort of see the baby probably as a little pup. And it was good. It was positive.
Wow. Miss Renee is experiencing that situation with Raven. Raven is a coated German Shepherd that's special, and they sort of struggling with who's number two in the pack. But anyway, that's the music,
yeah.
And when you hear the music, you know that we have to pay a bill. And you listen to Cagby about your dog, and you, I'm your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our co-host, Mr. Charlie, is home resting, and we send out our blessings and prayers to him that he is okay. And our very special guest, Mr. Tony Stevens, is going to come back on the other side and talk to us a little bit about the National Office, which is American Council of the Blind, and their wonderful, successful first year. I hate when people say your first year doing anything is not annual. Annual is the second year. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. But anyway, so back on the other side, he's going to tell us about the national convention that they held first time.
You are listening to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU is Capital Area Dog Guide Users located in the nation's capital. In our last 15 minutes, our guest is Anthony Tony Stevens. He's the Director of Development at ACB, the American Council of the Blind. Held by the ACB. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty. We got to definitely work on our technology. But anyway, we'll get there. So back to CAGDU about your dog and you. So our guest is Mr. Tony Stevens. And Tony, so tell us a little bit about what does it mean? Because when I would hear them say your title, I had no idea. I didn't know if you was raising money. I didn't know if you were putting together programs. Could share with us that and then go into how tell us about this great success that you all had with the convention.
Sure, Reverend Ray. So I'm the Director of Development for the American Council of the Blind, ACB. And, you know, in the role that I have now, it's principally focused on fundraising. But a large part of that really is on relationship building, because, you know, the idea is that in sort of effective fundraising and stewardship and working to really help sustain the organization, it's all on relationships, right? And my philosophy as a fundraiser, you know, I've been working in nonprofits for over 30 years now, and my general sense and feeling and the way that I view it is that, you know, we're not just out there banging the cup and asking for money, right? It is a situation where we want people to walk with us, and we want people to be with us, and people to join us. They might join us as members, and we get a lot of great support from our members at the American Council of the Blind. Huge thanks to all those folks that are members as CAGDU or Guide Dog Users Inc. or for the National, you know, Capital Area Chapter up in Silver Spring or the D.C. Council or Northern Virginia or all the affiliates and chapters around the country. You know, we're so thankful for all their support. But we get so much support from folks outside the organization, and it's a relationship in that they get the opportunity to walk with us, to join us in so many of the projects. So, you know, while part of it is that idea of, okay, here's the fundraiser, right? Here's the guy asking for the money. But more so, I'd like to think the role that I have is building opportunities and knowing that those relationships that come through those opportunities are going to yield support for the organization. People are going to, you know, want to give. And the virtual convention we had this year, I think, was a huge affirmation that we are so, so lucky for the relationships that we have. You know, when you mentioned March 13th, I remember that was my last day in the office, my kid's last day in school up in Baltimore City. And, you know, it was, we didn't know what the world was going to hold. We knew that we had a convention. I was only on the job for 2 weeks at that point. I'd left ACG for a year to run a small nonprofit in Baltimore that focused on education and family advocacy. I was the executive director for the Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance. Before that, I was director of advocacy and governmental affairs, which you mentioned was Eric's job prior. Eric hired me for that. And then I left for a year just to be with my kids as well, to be closer to my kids during a formative year for them in school. And but then Eric kept pulling at my ear and pulling at my ear and brought me back 2 weeks before everything fell through with COVID, which has really changed the whole world of fundraising. And going into the convention, we had no idea what it was going to be like. We knew that we had a huge liability potentially on our hands with the Chicago convention if they would not let us stay in the hotel. Folks don't know, you made these plans years in advance for huge conventions and conferences, and it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we were sweating. And it was the board that, and Pat Sheehan in Silver Spring, the chapter there, is a member of the ACB board, and he'll tell you, you know, there was a lot of thoughtful discernment amongst the board members as to, do we even do this? Do we cancel the in-person convention at a time that, you know, we canceled it early in the outbreak on March 30th, but we just knew, everyone knew, look, this was not going to get better anytime soon. And while folks were saying, oh, come July, everything will be fine, there was this gut feeling that, look, our members are older members. A lot of them have diabetes and other health issues that are at risk. And so we wanted to have our members first. So we did the virtual convention, literally had to create something new. It was, they always say, necessity is the mother of invention. And we basically built a network. We had five streaming channels at all times, 108 panels, 249 hours of content, over 300 guests that were panelists, hosts. We were pushing everything out on, you know, live streams, the overwhelming majority of it. Everything else has been archived and either put up as a podcast. You know, we had 29 hours of social get-togethers where we wanted to make it feel like a convention. How can we make it feel like a convention? So we were having socials, and we had, you know, even our SASE, our Sight and Sound Impaired affiliate for deaf and hard of hearing, had socials, and we had CART put in place so they could communicate. And it was really just an outstanding effort brought on by huge amount of from volunteers. We're so thankful for the volunteers. The idea that, you know, as development director, you know, it's something to thank people for a donation of money, but people's time, time is money. And the amount of hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours beforehand to pre-record so many of the segments, because we wanted to make sure it worked well on the Zoom platform. Nobody then, and nobody to my knowledge to date, has done this much stuff for an online virtual convention. And not just in the blindness world, but anywhere. We have tried to find, and it's not to say there's not, I'm sure maybe someone has in some other large association, but we were literally having to invent this stuff and run it all as people who were blind independently on internet, on systems that hadn't been tested, and it worked. And we were so fortunate that people walked with us. As I said, you know, the support we had from fundraising, we overshot our fundraising goals enormously in so many areas. Our auction, the record for our auction was $25,000 several years ago. We made $33,000 in our auction. Our walk is almost at $90,000 raised. You know, individual sponsorships raised $17,000. So people were just giving. And because I think they understood that this was such a unique, special year. It's for all nonprofits, a hard year for nonprofits. And just people's generosity was just a river. And we're so thankful for everybody's support.
Yeah, because every time I think of George Holiday, I go in my pocket.
You are a good person. You know, George, who runs our MMS, our monthly monetary support, that we reached 80, over 80 people signed up new for that this year. And that's a monthly program people can do to give, you know, $10 a little bit each month. It's like public radio. You always hear WAMU in DC or other public radio stations around the country. You know, you give a little bit in a month, break that over 12 months. And we had 80 new people sign up for the NMS program. And George and Gene Mann, who George works with on that, were huge helps in really helping to get those extra people to help. Because we're gonna have a tough year. There's no doubt about it. Everybody has been hard. Our endowment, and our, you know, where we pull money from a little bit each year, and our investments and everything took a huge hit with tumble with the stock market. It could have been a lot worse. We lucked out. We were pretty conservative with the money people give us.
Right.
So we're fortunate, but you know, it's still a tough year. So, but I just want to say thank you to everybody that has given to ACB. And we're going to be doing a huge campaign at the end of the year, moving into 2021. But, you know, I just want to personally say thanks to everybody for the level of support. And most importantly, not just money, but people gave their time for the convention. We had thousands and thousands of people that were logging in, keyed in, participating, listening through Alexa, the device in your house you could listen to, and streaming all our channels. And it was just incredible. It was such a wonderful experience.
Well, you all did a good job in pulling off, because I'm also the vice president of DC Council of the Blind. I'm the vice president. Ms. Freddie Pico is the president.
Mm-hmm.
And we was, you know, we in our meeting, we was like, well, we're not going to have the convention. How are they going to pull this off? I mean, you know, what's going to happen? And you all did an excellent, excellent job. Ms. Renee.
Well, thank you.
So, Eric, that's the music, and it's time for us to go. It seemed like the time flew by so fast once we got started.
It did.
Like anything else. So, Eric, Eric might think that I'm trying to get you to replace him in his next job. But, okay, Tony.
No.
We so appreciate you coming on as a guest and learning some other aspects about you, and I really, really appreciate it. And I look forward to, once this virus stuff over with, that we all getting together like real people again. And I know that's not going to happen no time soon, but I really appreciate you being our special guest. And what's the one thing you would like to leave our audience with, although we archive these programs is on our website, CAGDU.org. But what would you like to leave our listening audience with, a nugget?
I think If you're not walking with us with ACB yet, walk with us now. We'd love to have you join us, even as a friend, and just be on our mailing list. But, you know, most importantly, be well and stay safe, everybody.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. Bless you and your two boys and your pup. All right. We thank you very much for joining us. Huh? I say his wife, girlfriend, fiance, special.
No, let's not stop.
That's another show. That's another show. Okay, Tony. thank you very much. So you've been listening to CAGDU, about your dog and you. And I am your host, Reverend Ray Razor, our co-host is Mr. Charlie Crawford, who's not with us today. And we're going to check on him and see what he's doing, other than he's supposed to be taking care of himself. And so our call to action is, as you heard our special guest, Mr. Tony Stevens, say, you know, join an organization. You know, a lot of people, after they, because if you're living, you're going to have some kind of, And Tony was saying that he was part of a spiritual organization, and they'll tell you that you are going to have, if you live in this world, you're going to have some kind of trials and tribulation. As a person with a disability, and we're specifically talking about blind people, when you run into a barrier, and not just a wall, but a social barrier that against you in terms of not being able to get a job, discriminated against as far as getting housing or something, that's not the time, if you're not part of an organization, to need assistance. You can get that assistance from organization if you belong to the American Council of the Blind. You can go to them, but you have to put in some skin in the game, too. So that's our call to action. Get involved. Be part of the solution and not just part of the problem. All right. So you've been listening to CAGDU, about your dog and you. We thank you for your time. And until the next time, this is Reverend Ray and my host, my co-host, Mr. Charlie Crawford, and our hosted with the Moses, Miss Renee. And we always like to remind you, you can hug your honey, but please pet your pooch. God bless and be blessed.
You've been listening to CAGDU, About Your Dog and You, Capital Area Dog Guide Users, Inc., located in the nation's capital. We are heard here every Friday from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's cagdu2020@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call at 301-263-7371. That's 301-263-7371.